Welcome to
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome, everybody, to Mad Dad's Blog Talk Radio. So good to have you on today. We're really excited about what's going to happen. My co-host, Mr. Gil Baggett, will not be able to be here today, but in his absence, we have a couple of people that are going to be with us today. One is Lucas. He is here. And also a co-host, we have Eleonora. How you doing, Eleonora?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you doing today, BJ?
Doing great. You know, I'm really kind of disturbed because last night, you know, I thought I would go home and relax a little bit and take it easy after coming back from the homegoing of the national president of the Minneapolis, of the National Mad Dads, and Omaha, Nebraska, which the national president, Eddie Staten, had a wonderful homegoing, and his son, Vernon Muhammad, did a wonderful job of pulling things together. But I just wanted to say that it's good to be back home. Omaha is a great place to be, but it's good to be back in Minneapolis. We, you know, last night as I was on the block last night with Reverend Jerry McAfee and other folks that were assisting and helping with this homicide, 16-year-old boy was killed. And he had just been shot in the leg and a few days before. And his mother kept howling and screaming that, "I wish I hadn't let him out of the house. I wish I hadn't let him out of the house." He was shot while he was on crutches. I don't know what kind of man does that nowadays. I don't know what kind of boy. It wasn't a man. It had to be a boy. But what kind of boy would kill somebody on crutches? It's kind of like beating somebody in the back of the head, which a lot of our kids do nowadays. They feel like it's it gives them strength, it gives them power, it gives them, you know, all those things. But I want you to tune in to Blog Talk Radio and give us a call. That number to call is where's that number at? Okay. That number to call is 347-215-9262. I am here, you know, let me just say this, man. I'm really disturbed. You know, last night there were so many women out there crying and just screaming and yelling. Grandmothers out there had to have their inhalers. They just couldn't believe it. And I want to say thanks to Reverend Jerry McAfee for being out there to assist and to everyone else that really tried to help make a difference, because we had to calm that crowd down because they were really ready to tear the city up. So, you know, we said that Mr. Gil Baggett was absent today. Well, we just really didn't lie, but he was absent. But all of a sudden, Mr. Gil Baggett showed up. So the Hennepin County must have been good to him. And words, Hennepin County was not good to him.
No.
But he is here. Mr. Gil Baggett, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, BJ. I'm kind of flustered, man, you know, that it seems like this wave of violence is just taking over our kids, man, you know, and I mean, it's almost unbelievable to believe, man, you know, that, you know, like being 15 and from 20 years old all the way to the ages of, 12 is a dangerous period in your life, you know. I can remember, man, you know, that between 12 and 20 years old was the exploratory years of your life, you know. That's when you got to find out all your friends, you got to find out what you didn't like and what you do like, you know. You get to find out, you know what I'm saying, your future wife, your girlfriend, what kind of college you might be going to, a prom you might be going to, or who you're going to visit in another city going down south, you know. And now these kids are just struggling to go to a grocery store, struggling to ride their bike around the block, struggling to let pee and play off into the park. Man, it's scary, man.
Yeah.
You know, and having been a part of that type of destruction early on in my life and having suffered the consequences of, you know, detention centers and penitentiary and, you know, dysfunctionality in my relationships and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying, for God to have delivered me from all that, now to get the chance to just look at it from the outside, and it's such an ugly picture, you know. It's almost gut-wrenching, man. I was watching on the news last night as you and Pastor McAfee was out there talking to the people trying to settle things down, you know, and I was just like, you know, man, you know, what is this city coming to, you know? Because this is a beautiful state. This is a beautiful town. I mean, this is a town of opportunity, man, you know? This is a town, man, where everybody is prospering regardless of the struggle of the economic situation that we're facing here in the United States. I mean, Minnesota is one of the forerunners in its ability to take care of its constituents.
And with that being said, I just was looking at something that Lucas, I want to thank Lucas for doing a little bit of research for me. The safest neighborhoods in Minneapolis are 33rd and Stinson Boulevard, Calhoun Beach, Lake Harriet, 47th and Lindale, Minnehaha Parkway, 51st and Upton, City Center, and Minnehaha Parkway and Nicollet, you know, and they actually say, they tell you the right order is everything. Find your perfect neighborhood first before you even come to Minneapolis. One of the things they said about Minneapolis is that if you pick the wrong neighborhood, that you could be picking the wrong environment for you. So you have to find that. Now, they said nationally, in order to be a victim, you have nationally, in Minnesota, let's say, for instance, in Minnesota, the state of Minnesota, you have 377%. I mean, you can be one, it has to be one out of 377 people for you to be a victim of a crime in Minnesota. But in Minneapolis, it's one out of every 79 people are a victim. One out of every 79 people, not even one out of every 100, but one out of every 79, your percentages of being a victim of crime reduce when you come to Minneapolis. Your percentage nationally becoming a victim of 32.1%. But in Minneapolis, it's 1 in 17 are becoming a victim of a crime. And I think that what that says is that's burglary, theft, auto theft, you know, all those things, murder, rape, robbery, assault, all those things, you're a higher percentage in Minneapolis. And it just goes to show that those people are coming from areas and, you know, they're moving to our neighborhoods, but also these are families that are suffering, families that are struggling, families that are in need, families that don't get the therapy, that don't get the social counseling, that don't get the social services, that aren't getting what they need. They're not getting what they need, and it's just like Detroit, Chicago, and other cities like that. They're allowing blacks to kill blacks.
Yeah, but, you know, VJ, that's a generational curse, because as black people, you know, it was always, you know, see but don't tell, hear but don't tell, you know. I mean, for a long time, we were allowing incest, we was allowing child abuse, we was allowing child molestation in our homes, you know. Our children were victims to these things, but we had an unwritten law where we didn't talk outside, our business was never taken out into the street. And I think that's having a negative effect on the help that's being provided for the community, because people are not secure enough to lay up and seek the professional help that they need in order to lay up and address some of the issues that's affecting us as a community.
And, you know, as you know, just want to mention too that Don Samuels was out there with us also to bring comfort to the community and just talk to folks. You know, I talk to a lot of young people. My question is to a lot of young people now, what are we going to do? How do we do that? How do we save our community? How can you help? I want the young people to start answering some questions. You know, it's time that we stop trying to answer questions for them. We need to start asking them, what are they going to do? And we noticed that all the young people stayed across the street. All the families and the members that were really trying to help and bring comfort, we're all in the mix, but then the young people were across the street as if to take a stand and say, we're not even a part of you. We're separate, but you are a part of us. So we had to go across the street to talk to them. Yeah. Let them know that we're all connected, man, and no matter where you stand or where you go, we're still our family, even when you refuse to say, what's up, brother? You're still our brother, even when you refuse to say, what's up, sister? You're still our sister. We're not going to forget where we came from. We're never going to stop doing that, and we don't want you to forget that either, because we know that these 33 lives that have been lost, 33 homicides. 33.
Sad number.
33 people, and so many of them babies.
Babies, man.
Never will see graduation, never will ever be grandparents, never will ever be positive members of our society, never will get the chance to see their families, you know, evolve. They'll never get any of that. So what do we do? What do we do, Gil?
VJ, I think we know, like, this. You know, we're faced with an ugly situation, you know. When drugs came off into our communities, you know, we sat back and we thought that it was never going to affect us. It's not going to affect my family. My child is never going to get involved in it. I'm not never going to get involved in that. But we know the harsh reality of that disillusionment, man, was that all our families and all our communities, man, you know, our schools, our churches, all of the ethical foundations that were set forth by our grandparents was destroyed through an epidemic, man, that was of paramount proportions in our community. And today we're faced with this same thing with young boys, young black boys, you know, craving to live here and have the recognition of being gangsters and having the recognition of not caring about who they harm and who they hurt. You know, pain has a ugly way of affecting the way that we think.
Well, we got a call on the line. Your number, last number is 5167. Thank you for calling Blog Talk, Mad Dad's Blog Talk Radio. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you got some comments about our topic?
Said, I just, that's right, that's true. Everybody needs to learn how to work together and stop killing each other. And that's messed up all these young people. It's a couple of them ain't going to be able to never have kids or do nothing because they're young and now they're gone and all over really nothing. Like, I just think it's crazy. People need to put the guns down and stop the violence. That's how I feel.
You know, you sound like a young person yourself.
Yeah, I'm young. I'm 18.
You know, I was looking at, you know, a lot of times we go to the homicide sites and I was just mentioning that all the young people stand on one side of the street and all the grandmothers and aunties and all that stand on another side in the mix comforting each other. And you never see the young people come over to comfort or to be comforted. They just want to stand there and hold a stand. And I was wondering, why is that?
Me, I can't even answer that question because that's not the type of person I am. I'll be the one of the ones that would be in the middle in the mix, just like I called. But I don't know. Most of them ain't got the wasn't raised right. That's really the problem. Most of these kids ain't raised the right way, and they ain't read too tight. They wasn't taught what to do, how to do it, and so they just go for what they know. That's the main problem. That's what I believe.
See, you sound like somebody old school raised. You talking about they ain't wrapped too tight. That's an old school saying. You know? That's what mama and them say. Yeah, boy, you ain't
wrapped
too
tight.
That's
what my mama say. Yeah,
I know that's
my grandmama say that.
What do you think the solution is?
I have no clue. I don't know.
What would you like to see happen in the city, though?
I mean, when the tornado happened, that's a prime example. Because everywhere you turned, it was everybody helping each other. That's all you seen, everybody helping. That was no crime going on at the time. It wasn't none, but everybody needed help, so everybody was giving. You know, that's what was happening. That's what everybody needs to think about better in their life instead of trying to mess somebody else's up. Because that's not how you get your life better. You can't make yourself feel good by putting somebody else down.
You know, at the age of 18, you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, you're doing all this stuff. How do you separate yourself from all, you know, you got friends on there talking negative. I watch what people say on Facebook, and I'm kind of amazed that they play all kind of games, negative stuff, they dog each other out. How do you stay away from all that?
I'm not even a Facebook person. I have a Facebook, and I've seen it, so that's why I call. I don't play no games on Facebook. I don't write on Facebook. I just got a Facebook just because, but I'm not into the streets. I got a daughter now, so I used to go to parties, do all that. My life has changed all the way. I don't do nothing. I go to school. I don't go to school. I go to work, and I'm trying to get into GED classes so I can get my GED back. I don't do nothing. All I do is work, take care of my baby, and if everybody focus on the positive stuff, it won't be no time to do negatives. That's how I feel.
And what's your name?
That's how my life is. My name's Tane.
Tane, man, I really appreciate you calling Mad Dad's Blog Talk Radio. Remember, tune in every Tuesday. Check us out. Now, we're going to put you on hold and get another caller, okay?
Okay.
That's really nice of
that. Yeah, that was all right. See, now listen to her. 18 years old.
Now, we got another caller on the line, and we're going to go right to 5167. And how you doing?
That's me.
Oh, that's you. Okay, we're going to go put you on hold, and we're going to go right to 5400, Blog Talk Radio. How you doing? Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Now, this is Eleanor. See, here we go again with her. And Gil's eating up all my cashews, man. Stop eating up all the cashews, man.
That's the only thing good. I'm going to bake my teeth.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to take my nuts back. So I see Eleanor is having a little trouble, man, getting on Blog Talk Radio with us. But what we're going to do, we're going to go right to our 5270 caller. How you doing? And welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. How you doing, 5270? We're going to put everybody on hold because right now we're going to talk a little bit more, Gil, about the parents, the homicides, the police, the political environment. All those things play a role in what we're doing in this community. This crime wave is, we're still one of the safest cities, they say, in the country.
Yeah.
Even with 33 homicides, I think Chicago has 300 and something homicides already.
Yeah.
We're still one of the safest cities. One thing I want to say, we got some great kids. We got some great parents, and we have some great communities. We just have a series of knuckleheads that are causing a lot of trouble for a lot of people, putting people on edge and making them nervous. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about how do we come together and make this happen? There's got to be a way to come together and make this happen. Now, we're going to go back to Eleanor and try her again. No, she got this raggedy phone. We're going to go back.
She's got a brand new one.
It ain't brand new, though. Now, we're 5400. Come on in, Eleanor. We got you.
Can you hear me now?
We hear you now.
We can hear you now. Why don't you take that phone back to Kmart? Tell them to upgrade you to a another model.
When my boss make bigger donations, I will. Now, anyway.
Oh, man. That's a cold blow. Go ahead. What can we talk about this?
No, but seriously, though, when I got the call last night and you were telling me about this here, the only thing that I could think about was how that young man got up that morning. And I want to address these to the guys that are going around, well, guys, women, whoever they are, that are going around doing these crimes. How would you feel getting up in the morning, going about your day, and planning tomorrow? Walking down the street, and all of a sudden your life is gone. You don't even know what's coming at you. Put yourself in their shoes. I mean, that young man got up yesterday morning thinking that he had his whole life ahead of him. And he's standing out there talking or whatever he was doing on crutches, mind you. And you come up and you do that. He had no idea. And this can happen to you. Just like you did him, somebody else can come along and do the same thing to you. Why would you even want to put yourself in that position? First of all, why would you want to take the life of someone else? That life is so precious. And once you take it, you can't give it back. How would you feel if somebody came up to you, put a gun behind your head, and pulled the trigger, and your lights went out? Whether you know it or not, you're gone. And it seems like they don't think about this stuff. And I just couldn't help but put myself in that child's shoes, you know. I'm here now, and the next minute I'm gone. I don't even know what hit me, what came at me. And all over nothing, all over something that could be solved with a few words.
So what do you think is going to be, a rational solution to that?
I think that when the justice system, when they catch these young kids and start prosecuting them as adults and treating them as adults, putting them in the prisons with the adults, putting them on death row with the adults, maybe then they'll stop and think before they decide to take such drastic actions. Because they're being treated like kids. These are not kids. I mean, these are not adults. These are animals. It takes an animal to walk up and deal with that individual did to that boy yesterday. That wasn't even a kid. That was an animal. You know, let him go to prison. I mean, when they catch him, let him go to prison and play with the big boys. Let him walk up on one of them guys behind bars that has a life sentence with no possibility of parole, that has nothing to lose. Put him in a cell with one of those whose mentality has not changed, who looks at, I ain't got nothing to lose. I might as well take it out on somebody else. Throw him in there with them. Let them see how it feels.
But what about the kids, Ms. Nora, that are going through some stuff right now, and they contemplate doing what this animal did yesterday? What can we say to that kid to lay up here and deter him and have him to change his thinking?
I would say reach out to your parent. Reach out to a responsible adult. If you can't reach out to a responsible adult, there is a church almost on every corner, and I don't believe that there is a pastor, minister, anybody standing in a church that would not want to hear you out. We have youth organizations that Mad Dads. We have a Tuesday night support group that are filled with young men who have come from gangs who have changed their lives around. Gil, you're a perfect example of someone who's done that yourself. There's always somebody that you can turn to. I'm quite sure that that individual knew somebody that he could have turned to. And when all else fails, get on your knees and pray your way through.
Mm. So being a mother, what do you say to those mothers that have lost their babies? 33 homicides. In the last 30 days, we have lost 3 teenagers to gun violence in our community. We know right now that we have a 14-year-old, 13-year-old, 16-year-old. Those are all gone right now. What do you say to those mothers?
DJ, when you said that hit me into my heart, and that brought tears to my eyes, because I have children that young. I have grandchildren that young. And I like to say, my heart goes out to you, and I'm so sorry. I can't begin to imagine the pain that you're going through. You know, and I am so sorry that that happened to you. I'm so sorry that happened to your child. Nothing can bring them back. But hold on to the good things, to the good memories. Hold on to your child's smile and take comfort in that. Hold on to the last time that child put their arms around you and told you that they loved you. Hold on to the last time that you saw your child smile. That's the most important thing. Hold on to the good parts. Let go of the negative. It's hard to say, I can't think about that death. You know, but you got to hold on to the good. Don't let the hatred and the hurt eat you up inside. And know that they don't have to go through that pain no more. All I could just say is just hold on and be strong. Because from where I look at it and where I'm standing from it, even if they never catch this person, they still going to have to answer. They may not answer here, but they will be held accountable for that.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and thank you for your comments. And you know, one of the things that I believe that the mothers have done, and we have a problem here. We have a problem. Mothers lose their kids, and it seems like they go away. They just go into their own space, and they don't show up anymore. We need those mothers on the streets. We need those mothers crying out. We need those mothers talking about the situation. Nora, how do you think we get those mothers out? Get them out in the street.
Well, VJ, we're gonna have a hit the block. We're planning to hit the block walk, and we're going to give out the details. The details should be on Facebook no later than this afternoon. If they're not already on that, we're asking these mothers to join us. Call the
matter of fact, we did put that out there on Facebook, asking people to call us. Have you had a chance to check those messages? Are people calling us?
Yes, we are getting calls for the Hit the Block. Tiffany, Tanya, Miss Whitehead, we are having these people call. And what I'm saying is, come hit the block with us. Bring pictures of your children so people can put a face to the name. And maybe if we can get enough mothers out there, enough pictures of our children that have left us out there, and maybe we can make these kids who are doing these things identify. You see what I'm saying? Identify that they're just not taking away a, you know, something. This is someone. Don't let your child, you know, be forgotten. Keep it out there. Keep your child's face in the public eye. And just maybe, by seeing that child smile and knowing what happened to that child, it'll shake something or loosen somebody that'll step forward and say, this is who did it.
Ms. No, you know what I want to know? I just want somebody to just tell me this. Where are these guns coming from? You know what I mean? Do they got a store or something they just go and buy?
That's what I want to know.
I mean, guns coming out of our homes. Our kids are just taking our personal Saturday night specials and taking them in the streets and shooting people. I mean, I don't think that's happening. You know, I want to know why, you know, since something has not been done about the guns, the high number of guns that's in our communities.
You know what, Gil, I'll go a step further.
We don't throw them in the backyard. You know what I'm saying? Where are these guns coming from?
I go a step farther than that. I mean, the guns are in the black neighborhoods, or I'll take it, let's not just say the black neighborhoods, but the economy is not that well. You see what I'm saying? What they call the ghetto, what they call on the block, what they call the area that are filled with minorities, because it's not just blacks. You see what I'm saying? But we just hear more about that. We don't have no factories that are producing these guns. A black child cannot go in the store and buy a gun. A black teenager cannot go in the store and buy a gun. A black man or a woman going in the store is going to have a hard time getting a gun. It all goes back to the same problem that brought all this about. Where are the drugs coming from? It's time we start following that chain, going up the ladder to get the people who are putting not only the drugs but also the guns in our neighborhood, because there's somebody sitting up there somewhere making all this money on the lives of our children.
That's the truth. Because, you know, they had a thing on the CNN where a truckload of guns were just dropped off into a community. But
that
today,
don't make
But today we want again just want to thank everybody that tuned into the show today. We want to lay up here and send out our most deepest heartfelt condolences to those, to that family, to those children in that community. We want to just ask all our public officials to please join in with us to help us find some type of answer to the pain that's going through our community. So again, this is Mad Dad Blog Talk Radio. Our number is 347-215-9262. And we ask you to continue to stay in touch with us, because we'll be back on the air again next week, next Tuesday at the same time at 1 o'clock. And we want to just thank you for your participation. And again, we want to send out our hard, warm sympathies and condolences to that mother who lost that baby today, last night. And we just ask you all to join in with us as we go in when the mothers are going to hit the block, and we're going to lay up here and just try to stir up some answers.
That's right. We're going to stir up some answers, and we're going to stir up some questions. We're going to stir up some hearts and some passion, And we're going to do it right here on Blog Talk Radio, Mad Dad's Blog Talk Radio. And as usual, you know, we usually start another show right away. We'll find out if that happens. And if it does, then we'll be good to go. It looks like we're good to go. We got another 14 minutes left. So, Gil, when you're from Chicago, man, what do these families do, man? 300-something homicides in Chicago. And what do they do, man? How do they respond to all this? Is it just normal now?
See, now, VA, that's what it is now. It became normal now. It become acceptable now. It's a whole lot of things that contributes to the violence that's in our children's hearts today. We got to look at the music that we're putting out there. We got to look at the advertisements that our children are subjected to every day. We got to look at the television programs that promote this. We got to listen at all these entertainment centers, the games and everything that promotes. If you got a problem with somebody, you got a beef with somebody, just pull out a gun and just shoot them. Shoot the whole town up. Well, that mentality has got to stop.
Well, you got Lucas here. Lucas is doing some research work, and we want to thank Lucas on behalf of, he works at Goodwill Easter Seals, correct? And he's with Goodwill Easter Seals. He's been incarcerated. He spent 8 years in prison. We've got right now in Minnesota, we got 452 inmates right now with possibility of parole, and 86 without the possibility of parole, which means, and 14 of those 452 are females, and only 2 of the 86 with no parole are females. So men are still dominating the issue. Well, Lucas, what would you like to say about this information you just brought forth to us? What does it say?
Well, it says to me that, you know, if you young guys are out here committing these murders, and, it's not going to be about if you get caught. It's going to be when
you get caught.
This is what the state's doing to you. They're not playing with people no more. And you will be sitting in prison for the rest of your life. Even in the state of Minnesota, a life sentence with the possibility of parole means that you're serving a minimum of 30 years. And when they say a possibility of parole, that means after you serve that 30 years, they still don't have to let you out.
That's right.
So
that means you got to go to the parole board a couple more times, don't it?
Yeah.
Nah.
Well, see, that's interesting because, see, now our kids are saying they don't care because they're so young, they don't care. It used to be you could do stuff, man, be a kid, be 14, 15, you wouldn't even get no time. You go to juvie and that'd be it. But that's not the case anymore. If you're man enough to kill somebody, you ain't man enough to do some time now. You're going to do some time. And I'm going to check on this other caller. Gil and Lucas, I think we got another call over here. It's 5270. Thank you for calling Blog Talk Radio. Mad Dad's in the house. How can I help you? You're on the air. You're live on air. We can hear you breathing and everything. 5270, how you doing? You know, sometimes people just don't want to talk. They want to listen. But don't push that button if that's what you want to do. Because if you push that button,
that's all the people in the house.
Then we think that you want to... We think that you want to talk to us. I noticed one thing for sure. Lucas, you have just come out of incarceration. You've been out. What's it like starting over again?
It's hard. You know, you can never get that time back.
That's right.
That you were gone. And the hardest part is while you're sitting in prison, you're doing the same thing every day. Your routine is the same every day. You don't realize that the people out here are changing. So when you get out here and you see your parents or you see your cousins or you see your nephews and nieces, they done got older. They done changed. You got older too, but you were so busy living in that world behind them walls, you don't really understand the magnitude of the change these other people out here went through. When I see my mother the first time, I couldn't do nothing but cry. You know, she got sicker, she got older, and I seen it immediately as soon as I saw her.
And you had something to do with that. Your being incarcerated caused your mother to get sicker and older and all that stuff. That's what happened.
I did because,
right?
I did because when I was in prison, my mom told me this just the other day, too. She said, I didn't even know if you were ever going to get out of there. And one thing about being in prison, the next day is never guaranteed to you. You know, somebody could just walk up to you and stab you. They could beat you down and kill you. It's happening.
Let me ask you this question. Were you ever in prison when you seen a father realize that his son had been killed? Did you ever see the effects of that in prison?
Yeah.
And what was that like for you to watch that?
You know, it's hard. My hardest thing, you know what the hardest thing for me was? When I started seeing friends of mine that I hung out with on the street, old associates of mine, their sons were coming through prison. You know, and that was hard for me. You know,
but kids do what they see. You know, who's their lead on their role models? Usually your daddy.
You are.
You want to be like the daddy. Everybody don't want to be like Michael Jordan. Everybody don't want to be like O.J. Simpson or whoever. Everybody doesn't want to be like a superstar. Most people want to be like their daddy and their mama. That's who they really call the star. That's who they. And you know, Gil Baggett, our co-host, he had the syndrome. I mean, because he looks at his son now and says, man, stop trying to be like me.
Stop trying to be like me.
You know, because me wasn't, that ain't me no more.
That's right, man.
There's a new me now. There's a new Gil Baggett, and he's back in the 60s with old daddy, Fofo. But Fofo gone. Did you bury him?
I buried him.
And how do you feel? That's your son. How do you, I mean, you know, because it's real talk. We got a few minutes. I want to talk about this because I think so many times our parents, Gil, forget that they are the nurturers and the superstars and the teachers of our babies. And just share how that feels for you.
Well, you know, VJ, like, with my son, man, you know, like, I was a GD. And my father before me was an Egyptian Cobra, you know what I'm saying? He ran with David Boxfield and them when they was coming up out of Jewtown and stuff. And when they migrated over to the South Side and stuff, and they started them the Devil Disciples and stuff with Boone Black and them. And I thought when I was coming up and I had my son, I used to keep him with me and I used to dress him like a GD, you know what I'm saying? I put pitchforks on his arm. I did that, you know what I'm saying? I took him to the shop and put pitchforks on his arm, man, you know? And I was proud of that when I did that because I was caught up in the lifestyle of the gang, and I really thought that was gonna be my lifestyle for my entire life. After I got into the penitentiary, I went to the penitentiary for a murder, an armed robbery, and once I got off into the penitentiary, and I started seeing that all those people that I fantasized about, all those people that I thought were such great men, you know, that was going to be the rulers of this world because I knew GD was going to take over the world. And when I got to meet those guys, I seen how sick and how antisocial those guys were, you know, that these were not men that I thought they were. That all the literature that I read and all the things that I believed in was just a bunch of lies, man. You know, did nobody reach out for me? Did nobody reach out for my kid? Did nobody go talk to my mom about me or anything like that? I was in a brand new, different world when I went to the penitentiary. And I had to relive, learn how to relive inside that situation. And my son became a recipient of all the things that I thought meant in this world. I mean, all the deceit, all the lies, all the manipulation, all the cross out, all the backstabbing, man, all the BS. He inherited all of that. See, because he didn't know me as a man. He only knew me as word of mouth from what his friends said that his old man was about. So when I was in the penitentiary, you know, my heart used to bleed because I really didn't want my son to come in here and be in this penitentiary with me. Because, Lucas, you know, there's so many fathers and sons in the cell together, you know? And I didn't want that for me, you know? And I started writing to my son, and I was, you know, begging him, you know, hey, man, listen, don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype, man. You know, that GD, that Vice Lord, them Breeze, all that stuff, man, them Crips, man, all them Bloods, that stuff is bull crap, man. It's intellectual. I mean, it's high-tech pimping. You know, you got other people that's using you in order to make money. You know, they got to lay up here and keep you out of somebody else's throat in order to disguise the fact of how they laying up here pimping on you. So when I came home and I tried to embrace my son rejected me because he said, man, you know, I had let him down. He said, man, you know, I thought this was about you. I thought you was about this. I thought you was about that. You know, and I tried to tell him, hey, man, listen, I was about that. But, hey, these things done changed, man. These things done changed because they say that when you become a man, you put down childish things. And you pick up the responsibility of being a man, you know? And I told him that as far as, like, this gang stuff like this here, all that there, man, is still little boys playing cowboys and Indians, you know? So it's time to stop. I said, man, it's got the time to stop. You got to lay up here and stop prioritizing the things in your life that mean something to you. What's going to take you to the next stage of development in your life? I said, this here, this gang stuff is not going to take you nowhere because it's not designed to take you nowhere. It's designed to drop you off. And to drop you off means what? Penitentiary or the graveyard.
You listen to Blog Talk Radio. That was Gil Baggett. We're on every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. The call-in number is 347-215-9262. You have really heard a testimony from a brother that has decided that he doesn't mind telling his story. It doesn't mind sharing. Matter of fact, two brothers and a sister. We want to thank you, sister, for calling in, Miss Nora. We want to thank you, Lucas, for being a part of Blog Talk Radio. We want to thank you for the fact that your honesty and your ability to share and open up your hearts, not only to us in this office, because we really feel obligated and we really feel, privileged to have you in our lives, but we also feel like, you know, somebody's going to be touched by listening to this broadcast.
I hope so.
And our goal is to say to brothers in the penitentiary, brothers headed to the penitentiary, women headed.
That's where you're headed.
Is that we want you to know there's got to be a different way out. If you want something different, you got to do something different. But if you want the same thing, you got to keep doing the same thing because you're going to keep getting it. But I know for one fact, I've seen people say to me last night, a man said to me, you know what, man? Well, so long, I've been a part of this. And I see you out here doing this, man, and I look back and I watch so often. I'm tired of watching. I'm ready to do something. He may not do anything today. He might not do nothing tomorrow. But the fact that he said that to me right at that time when I'm grabbing Grandma and I'm grabbing Auntie and I'm embracing the brothers that I just can't take it anymore, you know, that helped me keep doing what I was doing. That helped me stick around. Now, what was sad about the shooting last night, a young man ran through the crowd and said something negative. I don't know what he said, but whatever he said, about 400 young cats just charged him and beat him so bad, and he got up and ran. But, you know, they didn't kill him, but they beat him bad. Whatever he walked through there and said, he said the wrong thing. And what would make somebody do that? In other words, think that you're not going to do nothing to me. I'm going to walk through here. Your homie's laying there dead. And you're going to say whatever you want to say? And we ain't going to do nothing?
That's a lunacy.
That's a lunatic.
Yeah.
That's a straight-up nut.
That is.
You know, I mean, if anything, we stay away from people that are mourning, even if we don't like them. We stay away. We don't bother them if we ain't got nothing good to say. It's just you honor. There's no honor for the dead. And these young people, and we have to, you know, I'm going to tell you this. Woo, you might not believe it now, but God don't like ugly. And that's ugly. When you're smoking dope before the funeral, when you're drinking before the funeral, when you disrespecting the gravesite, pouring liquor, you think all this, that God don't like that.
Coming to the visual, putting alcoholic beverages down on the sign, you know, beer cans all around the memorial site. You know, that's crazy, man. You know, I mean, you have no respect for the grievance of the mother, you know, and she don't have a right to lay up here and properly grieve her son. You know, that's just you know, that's what makes it very hard for me to go to those things. It's just emotionalism. I still hear the sounds of that way that man's father hollered and shallowed that day.
Yeah.
That was a sound, man. I mean, it just came from so deep within him, you know, that pain, that howl that he made, you know. And then the mother, the way she was weeping, she just couldn't stop herself. Man, you know, I mean, come on, man, it's time.